Again, I must say how privileged I am to be here this morning to fellowship with you. Unfortunately, this morning caught me by surprise. I figure it out last night before I go to bed that I have to rise 1 hour prior to. But then this morning when I woke up and I look at my bed, the clock by the bed, it was saying 6 something. I said, well, I have a little more time. But then when I woke up, the screen said, check your phone. When I checked the phone, it said minutes to 8. I said, what? Serious? And I had to rush. Luckily for me, my wife took sick last Friday when we came in from Jamaica, and she was not able to make it last week, neither was she able to make it this week to the house of God because of the illness. I had to take her Monday to the emergency at the hospital. But thank God she's coming around now. But it's a joy being here this morning to worship and to fellowship because, The wonderful thing about serving God is that at the end of it all, we have more to gain than anything else. All that we suffer here in this life cannot compare with the glory that we're going to share with the Lord. And so as we serve God, don't expect, you know, when I came into the church first, I thought that being a Christian, you'll be free from all the problems of life and stuff. But then I found out that because you're a child of God, because when I was out there in the world, the things I faced, I never faced them. But when I become a child of God, I realize that Satan really let loose after the child of God. And there's a lot of struggles. Believe me, brethren, to get rid of the old Adamic nature, the things that you were indulging and all that stuff, the devil starts to bring them back and he tries to tell you, what is this? And all I can say, Satan, what I received from Jesus in 1 month for 26 years, I didn't get it from you, so leave me alone. Simple as that. And I'm gone. But that doesn't prevent the love of the devil, you know what I'm saying? And so serving God, I come to realize, is the best thing that one could do in the extreme life. The reality of it, brethren, every one of us coming to this world, we born, come here, and we see the things we see. And when the breath leaves your body, the same way you come out is the same way you're going back in. Naked you come, well, you can buy clothes now and you can put on clothes, but you won't carry one iota of anything that you accomplish in this life. When naked you come, naked you're going to go back. Amen? So the reality is that God provided all for us. Therefore, the Lord says, enjoy it, but you must get rid of the problem that took place in the Garden of Eden. Amen? And that is the devil tricked us and we all fall. But let me greet you all again in the name of Jesus before I go any further. It's a long time I haven't seen Brother Barker. I know you are online, you and your wife, so I greet you all in the name of Jesus. Pastor Henry is absent and all those who are not able to make it, Pastor Fiani and his wife and family, I greet you all this morning in the name of Jesus, and I thank God that health and strength prevail. Next week, Sunday, I will be, 77 years old, and still going up. My neighbor looked at me yesterday while I have 6 mango trees at my house, and all of them dry like when, you know, when fire takes. And I had to go out there, trim those trees and all those dry stuff. My neighbor looked at me and said, man, I wish I had the energy you have. I said, well, to God be the glory, you know. And so I just want to thank God for the privilege and the joy to represent him. And I want us to understand, as the scripture says, so we are ambassadors. for the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors for Christ. And because of that, I honor my Christianity. I respect my Christianity because I didn't choose to be. That's the part. I did not choose to be. It is God that chose me to be what I am. I don't boast about it. I just thank God every day of my life. And all I want of God is to go deeper and higher. Because the more the convention message that we preached for the whole duration of the week was, God lifts up higher. He said to John, come up higher. And that's what is happening. We are so preoccupied with the things down here that we don't have time to go higher with the Lord. We spend more time on TV, cell phone, doing this, doing that, instead of getting higher in the Lord. This world is not going to change until Jesus comes back. But he said, you must change and live in this world, but not of it. That's the key. He provides. Sometimes you look in the fridge and you see a shadow. It means why things are low. But in spite of all of that, don't you neglect your salvation. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. It's important, brethren, that we understand the struggles that we are going to face in life. Right now, I am talking to you on this right here. It's out. 95% out. It burst up, being bleeding, and there's nothing I can do. I asked God to heal it, and he don't heal it. So what I'm going to do? Fold my hand and say, well, Lord, you can do it. No. I'm using the one that I have, and I'm going to keep on going. You understand? What I'm trying to say, circumstances in life will arise. How we face them is what matters. Do I curse God and die? No. I won't. I will stand like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though his body becomes corruption, yet in this body I will see him and not another. And that man was in a position that he was helpless. Sore from his head to his toe. He couldn't even stay in his house. His friends come and look at him for 5 days or 7 days. They didn't even say a thing to him. Because they can imagine this man who was such way up there. Now he is way down here. Job endured. And God gave him double for his trouble. We are anticipating the day when we are going to get double for our troubles. So stay focused. Stay focused. Hebrews chapter 2 that I just read. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't read the first three verses. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if we would, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first begun to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you leave this legacy behind. This book, the book of knowledge, the book of wisdom, the book of life, the book of truth. Father, we thank you that there are those who rose up many years who wanted to obliterate it, but because it is your word and your book, they could not extinguish it or abolish it. God, this moment we thank you. And as I look into your word, Lord, I depend on you. Holy Spirit, illumine us and help us to understand what you are saying to us. Because indeed, every one of us must and will one day look at you and see you. And it is only those who obey you and live for you will enter in with you. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How shall we escape? The previous chapter, chapter 1, tells us in verse 1, it says, God hath sung thy times, and in diverse manner spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Art in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now, God, in sundry time, in other words, time past, spoke to men by the prophets. Today, these words are God's word, and he's speaking to the church today. And coming down to the chapter, the end of the chapter, it says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Brethren, I don't know if we understand who we really are. How important man is to God that he used the angels who were in heaven, and the moment he set man on earth, he dispatched angels to watch over man. We are more valuable to God than any other creature that God made in heaven and on earth. In so much so that when the angels in heaven followed the devil and was condemned, God did not provide deliverance for them. The same sin that Satan sinned, rebel against God, is the same sin man sinned and caused sin to enter in, that death reigns in this world. And no man, I don't care how great you are, can stop this. But God, look at man that he created in his image and in his likeness, and when sin separated us from him, he sent his Son into the world to redeem those who will say yes to him and follow him in spirit and in truth. My brothers and my sisters, we don't understand the business of salvation. When you get an angle and understand what Jesus Christ did for us, we will understand. No wonder John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, not the material world, not the animal, not the forest, but man. He made everything. Then he put man in it and said, have dominion, have power, have authority. Man lost all of that to the devil. That's why no man can deliver himself from sin. You know, many days in my life I cried out, coming drunk, wake up halfway drunk, and I still have to go. You know what that feels like? You want to come out of something, and you can't come out. But one touch from Jesus Christ, one moment with him, change the whole course of life. Here I am this morning, clothed in my right mind, knowing who I am and to whom I belong. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, listen to me carefully. This business of salvation, the verse 3 says, verse 1 says, therefore we are to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. My sisters and my brothers, the word of God is quick and it is powerful. Go to have your doctor. God bless you. The word of God is quick and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. What God is doing, he said, therefore we are to give the more earnest, not just some ordinary way. In other words, you should seek to spend quality time in the things of God, gaining more knowledge of God, gaining more wisdom of God, gaining more anointing of God. So when you step out into the world, you don't step in yourself, you step with the power of God residing in you. Give to more earnest heed, brethren. In other words, give up certain things in order to get God. In other words, put him first. Brethren, if we understand that when you put God first, I never forget many years ago, the Lord said, consultation before confrontation. Never forget it. In other words, God said, prioritize me in all that you do. Do consult with me first before you do anything. Anything you plan to do, invite God into it. You know why? Because he knows the beginning from the end. He knows what doors to allow to be closed and what is to be open. So we need to give more earnest heed to the things of God. Because that is the most important aspect of our life. We need sleep to survive. We need a place to rest. We need a shelter over our head. But that don't stop the pain and the ache. It don't stop it. It won't stop you from hungry. It won't stop you from a headache. But one thing is assured, that when Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are safe and secure for time and for eternity. I don't want, when I see him, I am far away from him. When I see him, I must be like him. Why? Because I was created in his likeness and image. He doesn't want me to be inferior to who he is. He just as he so am I to be. Oh, hallelujah. Virgin, when you get close to God, when you understand the God you serve, that all of God, all God wants to do, you must study the scripture, the Old Testament. Those men, and even the apostles after Jesus' resurrection from the dead and his ascension, those men witnessed the burial, they witnessed the fight for David. They saw him like he was nothing. And they saw him bury him, seal the tomb. But on the third day, when they went to the tomb, he was not there. And while they were shutting to our Jesus appeared. That is called eyewitness in
Mark 4, it says we are eyewitnesses of these things. So no matter what you're going to do with us, be your prophets or killers, we are eyewitnesses of this. We are poor. That's what God is talking about, earnest. Serious man, you must have an encounter with God in order to tell him that no matter what you do with me, I will not give in, I will stand up. Because I know who I am, and I know who I belong to. Never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah. Oh man. We are engaged in the greatest thing in life, and yet we treat it as if it is nothing. Today, I was just to be taken back when I went to Jamaica the other day. Monday service, we had two. Tuesday, we had two services. Normally, on a Tuesday, we have what is called like a talent service. And I was shocked. Tuesday to everybody, I don't think we have a dozen people. Tuesday at Tuesday service. That bothers me. Because when I was there, Tuesday service full. People take time off to be there. It was on a Tuesday in Bethel and a convention. God, the white cultures are bigger, it's not bigger than this. And it was full with young people, old and young, who never filled with the Holy Ghost. And right there, the Holy Ghost came down on a number of us, and we got filled. When you call all night prayer meeting, we come from 10 o'clock and by 12 o'clock, I go back home. My days of all night prayer meeting, we go in at 10 o'clock and I take you home. That's what we call prioritizing. The church can survive by our own efficiency and ability and strength. That's why God said, you must seek me first, and all that I have. When you get me, you get everything. You have power to tell the devil where to get out of, where to stop. I'm going to talk to Satan as I'm talking in the name of Jesus who Paul preached. Demons know who have the devil in. Paul, I know Peter, I know Jesus, I know who are you. When you stand in the spirit and you tell the devil what to do, he must obey you. Because God said, I give you power over the enemy. And let me say this. It's not every disease God has already healed, you know. It's not every disease. My wife sick. I pray. One day the Lord tell her, I said, no, you're not going to get what you feel. You're going to give you tolerance to injuries. What am I going to pray to God now? Because I'm not going to pray to you. Some of us will not heal. That's not the finality of it. Whether you heal yourself, you're going to die. Because you have an appointment with it. The key is to have God inside of you by the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit of God will take you, listen, beyond your infirmity and take you right into the presence of God and where you're here. Who knows what God will do? Sometimes we just move, and we just move, and we just, but in the midst of all that is taking place, time God's throne. Earnest, be earnest. Don't let it slip from your brethren. Let me hurry up. That's a little way to go. Hallelujah. The scripture says, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hallelujah. How shall we escape
my brothers and my sisters, it's important that we obey the Lord. God gave his word. The Bible says that, when you read verse, I think it's verse 3, it says, for if the word spoken by angel was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward. In other words, during the days of the law, and even before the law, let's take the day of Noah. The Bible said God looked down on earth and he saw what man was doing. And in the first place in the Bible, first, that I think is the only time God said, I regret that I made man. And with that, God finds favor with one man, Noah. When God called Noah and said, Noah, I am about to bring judgment on these antediluvian people because they are rebellious. Noah, for 120 years, building a ark, and the people saw it, but they neglect. The word neglect simply means to despise. I don't want it, I don't care about it. So you can do what you want to do and say what you want to do. I'm going to do my thing. And the Bible says Noah built a heart for one lump and don't tell me. Everybody must see that heart. I know those for the man help Noah. Putting little stuff here and there. But you know the part that really hits me, Pastor? Is the part that when the heart was finished, God spoke to the animal. It was not Noah who went into the forest and the animal knew. God spoke to the animal just as though he speaks to man. But man never listened. The animal, two by two, walked into the ark. Two by two, Peter went into the ark while man was ignoring the word of God. And the Bible says, when the ark was built, God went into the ark. He said, Noah, come inside now. He was not out there, he was inside the ark. He said, now you come in and let me shut the door. How shall we escape the neglect? The Bible says the rain started to drizzle until it started to fall, until it started to shower down. And the people suddenly realized that what Noah was saying all this time come to reality. But it was too late. How shall you think God? This scripture keeps knocking at the door. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, he said, God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How shall he not with him give us all things that we stand in need of? So if we neglect that sacrifice that God made, give up his son for us, and we neglect him, how shall we escape? Tell me, is there an escape route? There's no escape route. The only escape route is the cross. That's it. And that's why church, no matter what it is, no matter how violent individual is, pray for them. Help them if you can help them. Because God don't desire the death of any sinner, but that all should come to repentance. When I understand that my sins that were so many, God forgave them.
How shall I go back into that when he has cleansed me and made me whole? Brethren, this is very serious. The scripture says the people cried, Noah, Noah, Noah. But it was too late. It is important that we follow through in the scripture. The Bible also told us about a man named Samson. I do these illustrations to let us understand how God works. God gave Samson's spirit and set it up. He mustn't drink wine. Don't cut his hair. Don't let him mix with the Philistines around them. Don't mix. When Samson came, and when he went home and looked, he saw a beautiful woman of the Philistines. And they come back to his parents and said, get me that one. The parents said, no, son. The Lord said, you must not take any other nation's a wife, a woman, and marry her. Take from your tribe. He said, look around you. Is not there any among you? He said, no, that one pleases. And that is the one I want. He neglects the word of God. And went ahead. The two women, the first one deceiving, when he killed the lion, and after a while he's going to find honey in the lion, and then he make a big party and all this other stuff, and then give a wriggle to the guys, and they said, well, if you can get this wriggle, you're going to give me, I will give you this, I'll give you that. Cut the story short. When they couldn't understand the wriggle, they don't look from the wife. To tell me, if you don't tell me, I'm going to burn down your family and kill your whole family, if you don't tell us. So with that church, she went to Samson, and Samson told her, what is the name of the woman? They did kill her. He didn't kill her. Because she betrayed him, the father gave her to somebody else. So when Samson came back alone and went back for her, she wasn't here. Samson get some facts and tied them together and burned on the whole place. And there was wrath with Samson. They do everything to get Samson. And one day Samson saw Delilah. Delilah was even more beautiful than the one that died before. And he decided that he's going to go after Delilah. Still rebelling against what God desires. And he married the liar. And the Philistines and said, yes, you will just take a chance to get to me. We will give you all the money we want. Just to get the secret of where this man's strength lies. Because they go after him and he lose one job, one of another, and kill off nothing, one thousand men. Can you imagine one man of 5,000 men? They lock him up in the city, he lift up the whole gate and get for the head and go to the one that has not in the city. Oh my God. But one deception, neglecting the word of God is dangerous. And Samson, Delilah trapped Samson, and he begged Samson, he said, Samson, you don't love me, because if you had loved me, you would tell me what it is. And then tell her this, and he said, put down a new rope on me. And when I said, Samson, bust it like thread. And he said, dude, about 3 times, I need to do the same thing. He said, Samson, you are mocking me. Tell me the truth. And he bugged him, and she bugged him, and she bugged him, until finally she told him the truth. And as he told her the truth, she lullabied him, and he fell asleep right in her lap. And she sent and called the Philistines and said, yes, I got him this time. I got him this time. And when they called the Philistines, and when the lady Delilah said, Samson, the Philistine is upon you. And get up on the other side. But this time, because you neglect the word, the Holy Ghost God. All Samson have at that time was a shake. But no power. Power gone. Because you neglect the word. How shall we escape if we neglect the word of God? Samson, and when they kill and Samson, the first thing they do, can you imagine? The torture, the man and take a live fire pool with fire on it and pluck it in the man's two eyes and burn them out. Can you imagine? Just imagine. They don't put in syringe in your nose to numb you. The raw fire and burn out his eyes. Something stuff. Until one day he was repented and called upon God. And he said, here, go back. And one guy that never leave him. That's why you know a good friend when you're in trouble. When you're in trouble, you have a good friend and always there for you. No matter what. Even when you're alone inside, I'm still there with you. And that young man watched up and stopped. He said, one day when the kings are gathered and they were worshiping their God and carrying on and all, they had a victory over Samson, and then God gives the victory. Samson said, carry me to the house. And she put me to between the two posts of the house. And God restored his strength. And he shook the place and then pushed it, and they were laughing, and then pushed it until it cracked. They suddenly realized that this man is good. And the Bible says, Samson killed more at his death than when he was alive. But he suffered why? Because he neglected the word of God. How shall we escape? Let me go on. You see, my reason for all of this, for me to be serving God for nearly 50 years ago, and don't make one mistake, because listen, the scripture tells you in Ezekiel, in two parts, two chapters, it says, if a wicked man who do wickedness all the days of his life commit one righteousness, all of that wickedness, that one act of righteousness, cover that, all of that. But if a righteous man who lives all his days and commits one sin, that all of that righteousness cannot cover that sin. That's how serious God takes it. You understand what I'm saying? And so the scripture says that a Nebuchadnezzar, King of Babylon. The Bible said the man had a dream. And the dream troubled him. And he get all the men around him to interpret the dream. And nobody could do it for him. Then suddenly one of his men said, we have an Egyptian that you took as slave. Daniel, he will be able to help you all. And when the king comes, nobody could understand the dream. And Daniel said, right, give me a copy of it. My God will reveal to me what you saw in your dream. And Daniel went and the Lord showed him everything, and he went back to the king and he started to tell the king the tree that he see. And the king said, yes, this is how it is. And he outlined everything. And Daniel was a little bit sorrowful. And the king said, what, why are you holding back? Daniel said, the thing is about you, sir.
The dream represents you. The tree is you. You flourish and everybody comes. All the birds that you see in the tree, you mean that you go so big and everybody is depending on you and looking to you. And Daniel said, let me instruct your king. Humble yourself before this God and you shall move up. Did Nebuchadnezzar obey the world? He neglected the counsel of Daniel. You read that in Daniel chapter 2. You will see. He did not heed the instruction of Daniel. And one year after, walk out with pride and say, go and say, this is this Babylon that I have seen. And immediately, the Bible said, the voice came and said, you are going to know who is the true God. You neglect my word. I give you a dream. You get the interpretation, but you neglect to follow my word. And the Bible said, right away, God changed his countenance, changed his inner desire, send him out into the wilderness for 7 years. His fingers grow like a bird claw. His hair locked down like animals. In the dew, he lived like a leaf, grass like animals. Until after 7 years, the Bible says, he come to his senses and repented. And God was right there to say, all right, now, I'm going to restore you. And from that day until he died, he understand the true God. We must take ye brethren, because God is not mocked. Whatever we say, we will reap. Finally, and I close. The Bible tells us in the book of Joshua, when they came to Jericho, the Bible says that the wall was built. And we know the story. I won't go into detail. God gave the instruction that the wall is going to come down. You're going to go past through this Jericho. You're going to pass through this city. But nobody should take any of the spoils from that place, because everything here is a curse. The only person who gets the opportunity to take up anything of value was the priest. Nobody else. And so, while they were, after the wall fell down, and everybody was going through, Achan decided that while them suffered some lives to leave behind, then pick up some jewelry and pick up some valuables, and he hid them. Now, Joshua, who was the leader, didn't see what's going on. But the God who gave the command, watching. And in the midst of all that was going on, nobody going, not a soul thing, but God sees every move we make. You understand? The Bible says the night is like day to him. Frederick, what I'm talking about is the fear of God. Don't lose your fear, because the moment you lose your fear, you're going to compromise. And neglect the word of God. We have to understand that God gave his word and he's watching. This word in this book is not man. It is coming straight from God's heart to us. So the scripture says that Achan decided that he's going to take these things in spite of the instruction not to take them. And the Bible says, Ai, Daniel, Joshua said, sure, Ai is just a small human. Let's carry a few hundred men. You don't need a whole army. And then it went to Ai with them, and 34 men died. When they came back, Joshua was perturbed, because we just finished Jericho. We just finished the whole place. So how come this is happening? What's going on? And then went to the Lord and said, let us come before me. But search the camp. Sin is in the camp. And Daniel decided that he was to call every leader. And then call one tribe and then call the other tribe and then call them and come down to Achan and say, Achan, tell me the truth. What's going on? Achan says, I have the stuff them here in my tent. Joshua took off of them. And when they come with them, what happened to Achan? He lost his life and everybody else with him went down. Do not neglect the word of God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a word of God? This time it's not angel talking, it's not. This is God that is talking to us today. Brethren, we may escape everything else in the world, but you will never escape if we neglect the word of God. That's why it is that, you know, as I was about to say, there's something comes to my thought. You know, that is why Satan tried to keep us out of this book. That's I don't know about you. But every time you read that, I'm going to read it. It's something you have to pick up on by the time you read two words. You know, so you know what I mean? You know, that's all I've come up with. I've been hurting. I tried to go to bed early. I said, Lord, wake me up. And when I wake up, you know, them 2-3 o'clock, no phone to call me, nobody to bother me. So it was just me and my Lord. And I spent a good time studying the word of God. You got to prioritize your life, man. God not come down and come tell you only what to do. He said, you must do it. You must know how you are going to work in order to get it done. It's important, brethren. This is the most valuable possession we have. The car is valuable, your house is valuable, your children is valuable, your money in the bank is valuable. But believe me, none of that can go heaven. It's only what comes down from here and coming towards is going to take us back up. Nothing else. And so this morning, brethren, I just want us to understand how God, in spite of his love, his care and his tenderness, he cannot compromise when it comes to neglecting his word. Because he gave so that you and I will not sin against him. It's important that we understand the God we serve will never go behind his word. When Jesus came to earth and in the Garden of Eden, he agonized when he looked at what is going to happen to him. He said, Father, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. 3 times it was so intense that the Bible said his sweat become blood. The Father did not move, because if he didn't go through, you and I would not be standing here today. Because what the law could not do is that it was weak in the flesh. God sent his Son in the form of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that you and I might have the righteousness of God. It cost me. And so God said, don't neglect it. This is the only foundation, real solid foundation we have to stand on, the word of God. And when you go before God, one of the things I understand, when in my prayer, I try to pray about the word of God. Because I said, God, your word says that if I do this, you will do that. And I expect you to do this. I'm not out of line. No,
amen.
I'm talking to him according to his word. And if you don't know what the word says, when you go before God, you're going to be in your own language. But he said, talk to me according to my word.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We are in a position with blessings and everything. I don't care what comes my way. If I talk to God about it, then in my mind, God, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain.
Yes.
I'm not afraid that my business is not about worry about dead pastor. I'm not worried about that. My business is, as long as the breath is alive in my body and I can see and move, my business is to try out and hide. So that if I drop out suddenly, I am ready.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because I have an appointment with death. It's a must that I'm going to die. But thank God, because of Jesus, I know death is not the final. Because as he rose from the dead, even so I too will rise again. To be absent from this body is to be present with my Father. He's a great God. He's an awesome God. Can you lift your hand and worship him today? Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. Lord God, today, take my hands and let them be, Lord. Take my mind, my heart, my soul, my body belongs to you. Oh, Holy Ghost. My nature is fine until Jesus be seen in me. I talk to you today, Father. Thank you for your word. Remind me of God, God, that your word is clear if we neglect so great a salvation. Salvation brings us peace, love, joy, satisfaction, redemption, glorification, oh, justification. Lord God, what else can give us all of that?
Nothing.
And so today, Father, we just lift our heart of gratitude to you. And say, yes. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew our spirit. Cover us under your blood today, Lord. Bless us wherever we are. Strengthen our faith, Lord God. Because one day, whether sooner or later, you will come again. To receive everyone that put their trust in you. So, Father, as your word said in Ephesians, when they come back, you are looking for a church without spot or wrinkle. And so, God, help us. The Holy Ghost will keep us in touch, keep us in tune, so we will not spot our garments or have any wrinkles. We'll be ready and waiting for that day when you come back. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.